glory is falling right now. My glory is falling right now. Catch the glory. Lift up holy hands. Catch the glory. My glory will move you from generation to generation to generation. This new move of my spirit will touch all ages. It is just not for one or the other. Catch the glory. Grasp it to your bosom. Take it to the world. Everybody has their idea of how I will move with my glory, but no one knows what I'm going to do. No one. This day I say unto you, reach up, grasp hold, and move forward. For my glory surely does fill the temple, and my glory will be manifested wherever you go. You are my beloved ones. I am raining down upon you. You have been seeking my face and seeking my face for quite some time now for answers. But I tell you this night, as you hold tight to the glory, you won't have to seek my face any longer. The answers will drop upon you. You will know that where the enemy is at all turns. You will no longer be exposed to what the enemy is trying to do upon your life. For I have sealed you in a canopy of my peace. And I have said no further. Carry my glory. Carry my glory. Be a witness unto Zion. Let all that you meet understand that I am God, and that my glory does fill the temple. Catch the wave right now. Catch the wave of my glory. This glory will carry you from generation to generation to generation to generation. Deep has been calling unto deep, and I have gathered in those who want the deepness of myself. I have gathered to myself those who have cried out and cried out and cried out. We are now one. And together as one, we will complete the works that I've called you forth to do. No longer slaves to the things of this world, but separated and set apart for my kingdom glory. I'm just hearing God say, some of you have worshipped me from afar. But from this day forth, you will worship me as one. God is also admonishing you to let no one usurp your authority that God has given you. God is also saying, faint not at adversity. Some of you, when adversity comes your way, you just crumble and fall. God said, no more. No more. When adversity comes, fight the enemy face to face with your weapons of warfare that I have given you. Shrink not back. Be bold, be strong, be vigilant. For I, the Lord thy God, I am fighting with you. God is saying you have entered into the portals of heaven tonight. As you gather to your bosom the glory, He's saying you're standing in the manifest presence of God Himself. Drink of the new wine. Drink of the newness of life. God's saying, keep entering in. Keep entering into His goodness. God's saying, what does man have to offer you? And He's saying, nothing but flesh. He said, I have eternal life to give to you. God's also saying you will perform miracle after miracle for Him. As He split the Red Sea for Moses, He will split the Red Sea for you. The enemy will no longer have you boxed in. For you are standing in the freedom of the Father because of His glory. All of you who have eyes to see, look up. Look up. The miracle that you are praying for is there. Look up. Open your eyes and look up. The heavens are wide open. My glory is hovering over you. Just look up. My sons and my daughters, I see you. In the wee hours of the morning when you're crying out to me, deliver me from this evil. I watch and I listen. And then I watch and I listen. And tonight I tell you, I want to deliver you from this evil. I want to set the captive free. I want to do what only I can do. Deliver you from all evil. Give me your heart. Give me your eyes. Give me your ears. Allow me to be God in your life. Total God. Complete God. I am not a halfway God. Give it all to me tonight. My sons and my daughters, you are my beloved ones. And I am singing over you right now. I am singing sweet melodies of grace, peace, and mercy. I am with you in the thickest of the storms. And I am with you when the waters are calm. Tonight, I'm singing over you, my beloved ones, my precious, precious ones. Faint not because of the trials and tribulations. Keep rejoicing in me. Rejoicing in who I've called you to be, and never once taking your eyes off the prize of the high calling upon your life. I just hear a sweet melody in heaven, and the angels are singing hallelujah. And I know if you have spiritual ears, you can hear it. As all of heaven is rejoicing over you tonight. I'm just hearing God say, come on over and let's taste of new wine. Let's celebrate the victory. The victory of becoming an overcomer. That's that's an anointing that can break every yoke, isn't it? Well, let's talk about My Story by John Ramirez tonight. John said, many of us in our lifetimes have someone we look up to. Could be a sports figure, a movie star, a music artist. Many times we go back to our childhoods and we love our heroes, superheroes. For some, that is Superman. Some might say Spider-Man or even Batman. In my neighborhood, there was no role model. In my home, my hero was absent, which was my father. So along this thing called life, down the path called journey, I was looking for my hero in all the wrong places. And that's what's going on, been going on in this generation. He even said he'd even looked in a devil's den. But one day, to my surprise, I met this man, the ultimate person who can change your life. Not a temporary transformation, it is an eternal one. This man walked by the Sea of Galilee one day and saw fishermen fishing, and he turned them into fishers of men. This man turned water into wine, walked on water, shut down the storms on the boat by his spoken word, "Peace, be still." He is a miracle worker with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. He fed more than 5,000 people. He had compassion on the sick, gave sight to the blind, even raised the dead. And he was pretty good at his trait of being a carpenter, not knowing that one day they would create a cross out of wood with his name on it, on which he would be crucified. But that was not his end. It was just the beginning. He was placed in a grave, and on the third day arose again and spoke to a woman while he was dressed as a gardener. And she called him Rabbi, which means teacher. I am so blessed and so honored and beyond grateful that the man who came out of the tomb did not stay in the garden that day. He knew my address in the Bronx, knocked on my door, and not only changed my life, but transformed it forever. He is my hero, and I dedicate this book to him. His name is Jesus Christ, the one and only. Don't you wish that you really felt that way about Jesus? Don't you wish he was the only main person in your life? John Ramirez was a truly remarkable story of conquering his battles and experiencing true freedom. The power of his story keeps you on the edge of your seat. Remember that Revelation 12:11 says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives until the death. This is somebody else telling about John. John has spent years conquering demonic principalities so that you can spend mere moments and days conquering them. What does a forerunner do? Prepares the path for others to follow. And what does he say about John? John has spent years conquering demonic principality so that you can spend mere moments and days conquering them. The battles that the forerunner people are going through is hard, but they are paving a way for others to follow who won't have to go through the things that we've gone through. By understanding how to renew your mind and access the power of the precious blood of Jesus, you too will experience true freedom. This topic is more vital now than ever before in human history. Would you please give me my water, Aaron? So this topic is more vital now than ever before in human history. Why? Because so many Christians start following Jesus but remain bound in their minds, not knowing how to walk in their God-given authority. I believe true spiritual warfare is a battle for who or what is going to control your thought life and the decision-making center of your life. He said, I believe true spiritual warfare is a battle for who or what is going to control your thought life and the decision-making center of your life. You will have to battle the enemy and let him know God is in control of your life. I have personally been teaching about the battle of the mind for more than 30 years. Through our podcasts, Ask the Pastor, television broadcasts, Power to Change Today and Global Life Changers Church family, I have seen firsthand how people can be set free by applying the principle of God's Word that John and I teach about. The problem with the body of Christ, we do not apply the principles that we learn. We just hear them, we either say it's good or not good, and we go on, we totally and completely forget what we just heard. One of the things I love most about John's approach is when he says, say this out loud, there is power in your words. In Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. What does that? The word of God. Did you know the phrase double-edged sword is literally translated as twice spoken? Think about that. The power of God's word is activated when it is spoken twice. First by God when it was written, and second by you when you declare it out loud. Isn't that neat? The devil has no power over you when you come to understand this reality. Freedom begins when you say what God says about you. I am the head, not the tail. Above only, not beneath. That's in Deuteronomy 28:13. We say that, but we don't believe that. We say that because we've heard it over and over and over again, and it's just something you say. It's not something that really comes to the very depth of your heart. It's just like communion. You know, they said, well, once a month we're going to do communion. God said, don't you stop communion. You only do communion when I tell you to, because they are not truly doing communion in the right way. It's just a habit. It's just something we do. And we need to stop that kind of stuff. Nothing that we do for God should be a habit. It should come from the very depths of our hearts. And it's something that we have lived or are living. And it's something that we're trying to get others to understand and believe. Conquering begins when you declare, I am more than a conqueror. How many of you say that and you're still defeated? That means you don't really understand that phrase, and that means you're just repeating something that you've heard and you really don't mean what you're saying. You believe and speak the living word of God. It judges and condemns the things that are judging and condemning you. You believe and speak the living word of God. It judges and condemns the things that are judging and condemning you. However, you found yourself opening the pages of this book, or as he says, however, he doesn't know how you did it. You found yourself opening the pages of this book and entering this personal journey to freedom and deliverance. I believe that your steps were ordered by the Lord. Why am I teaching on this? You know, I have a stack of books on my on the stand there. And God said he's to pick up that John Ramirez book. And so I did. He said, I want you to teach it. So that's why I've been teaching this, because God told me to pick it up. And when I looked at it, he said, I want you to teach this. If you're really, what's the book called? Conquering what? Your Deliverance? Conquering Your Deliverance by John Ramirez. If you want to purchase that and reread it again, you know, there's a lot of things in there that will help you not only get free, but to stay free. All right, then John says, may you go forward and experience your freedom Jesus paid so dearly for you to have. It's time to be transformed starting today, tonight. I thought God began the night really good, don't you? Your best days are your next days. Why I want you to read this book, John says. I dedicate this book to the brothers and sisters who have been spiritually wounded. You hear this, spiritually wounded. I promise one thing, that your spiritual wounds are not your destination, but rather are preparing and equipping you for a deeper place in God. Read that and get it in your spirit. He says, I promise one thing, that your spiritual wounds are not your destination, but rather are preparing and equipping you for a deeper place in God. You will have the last laugh against the enemy of your soul. I know that in the past you have seen the goodness of God upon your life. And as you look back, something the enemy does not want you or me to do, the Holy Spirit wants you not only to remember the amazing things he did in your past, but also to expect in the present the things that our Lord Jesus Christ has predestined for you. You know, and God said, anybody who places their hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, that isn't what John's talking about here. He's saying, and God did this to me, his daughter, I want you to look back and see how I kept you from death or whatever, you know, whatever he's wanting me to see. So you need to look back and see how good I've been to you. Maybe some of you listening to this need to look back to your past, not to get upset about it, but just see how God brought you through all the trials and tribulations that you were going through. Then understand how good he truly is. And understand if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be alive today. All right? All right, John said, things that God did in the past will be outdone only by what he has promised to do for you and me in these precious times. Only the things that God has promised you is what's going to come to pass in your life. You know, there are things that God wants you to do. A lot of people want to do things that are so far out there, there's no way God is even in it. So if God has spoken he's going to do a certain thing in your life, then he's going to do that thing. And you should be content with that thing and let him raise you up and get you prepared to do the thing he's calling you for. Do you need to quit trying to do it yourself. God will raise you up in due time. God will move when he wants to move. And he'll do what he wants to do when he's ready for it to be done. He has a perfect timing for everything. All right. God has a plan for you. Yeah, some of you don't even believe that. God has a plan for you. He just didn't bring you into this earth for you to just sit. He has a precious plan for you. Let God work that plan out in your life and quit your dumb stuff that you do. You know, your attitudes and your faces. That is not God. You just, why can't you rise up out of your bed in the morning and be happy? You know, instead of always, oh God, here's another day I got to go through. You know, God made us to be happy people, joyous people. Are you listening here? And if you don't grab hold of that, you're never going to go anywhere with God. I didn't say you weren't going to go to heaven. I didn't say that. I said you'll never do anything for God. All right, so John says God has a plan for you. Then he said, yes, believe it. And it is a big one, an amazing and perfect plan. The powers of darkness, the devil and his army do not want your God-ordained purpose and destiny to be fulfilled in your life. The devil does not want you to fulfill what God brought you on this earth to fulfill. You know, when I was born again and God called me, I was 50. And I said, God, I wasted 50 years of my life. He said, no, you didn't. Those were years of training. I knew exactly when I was going to call you to the forefront. And so if you just think that you're just sitting here spinning your wheels, you're not. God knows the exact day that he's going to call you forth to start whatever he's told you that you're going to do. All right? I know you've been waiting for a long time. I've been waiting for a long time for a new building. I've been waiting for a long time for the glory to drop. I'm still waiting. But God told us tonight the glory dropped tonight. You know, the desk didn't fly across the room and the roof didn't pop off. You know, we think that the way God, he does things is always something great and wonderful, you know, loud. But it isn't. He told me one time, he said, you don't need the sun, thunder and the lightning. I'll lead you by my still small voice. Some of us say, pray God, Bob, that's really you, light up the room. You know, or something like that. But that isn't the way God works. We walk by faith, not by sight, right? In this very hour, Satan has mobilized his demons, both his generals and satanic spirits, and even human agents of the devil that are doing his bidding to launch launch the most ferocious attack against you and me and every human being, because we are made in the very image of God. Do you not understand that everything that bad has been gone in your life is because you're following God and the enemy is trying to stop you? You have to quit doing your pity party stuff, and you have to quit doubting God. And you have to understand that God isn't going to yank this stuff out of your life. You're a person. Jesus was a person. He had to walk through his stuff. We have to walk through our stuff. But while we're walking through our stuff, we keep our eyes upon Jesus, and then we fulfill our destiny. I know I've heard a lot of people say, God, it's not fair that you're allowing me to go through this. Well, it wasn't fair what Jesus had to go through either. It wasn't fair what Paul had to go through, or Peter. Do you understand what I'm saying? So who are you to be higher than Jesus? We all go through our trials and tribulations. John said, the world has seen up to this point what is coming down the pipeline against believers and non-believers alike, straight from the pits of hell. We have seen satanic strategies on every level. But I have good news for you. The true servants of Jesus Christ will be prayed up. This, if you really listen, this is all stuff God's been speaking to us. The true servants of Jesus Christ will be prayed up and filled with the word of God to withstand and be more than conquerors. Soldiers who have been enlisted in the army of the Lord and deployed into the battlefield behind enemy lines like never before. And God just gave us a powerful prophetic word about that. If we want to experience a type of victory Jesus already purchased for us through the finished work of the cross, it is time we pick up the weapons of our warfare and bring them to the devil instead of just talking about it. You have to say something, my grandson said. Every time he's in trouble anymore, what is he, 20 or so? I think he's 20. But he calls me, Mama, please pray for me. So he had an accident on his motorcycle the other day, and he called. He was at the hospital. He said, Mama, please pray for me. So I prayed, and one of the things I prayed was peace. You know, God just told me what to pray. But anyhow, then the next day, my daughter went over to see him, and his mother went over to see him. And he said, you know, my mom's Jesus itself. She said, no, he's not. Yes, she's Jesus, because when she prays, she says something happens, and I get peace and everything. But, of course, I'm not Jesus, you know. But he said, and then my daughter said, well, she has a direct line to Jesus. He said, I still think she's Jesus herself. But, you know, but now I do pray for him. Just all, you know, we both get, you know, the Spirit of God comes upon us, and God just does a powerful work. So the little boy, he thinks that, you know, but that's all right. I'd rather think that than think I was a devil. But what I'm saying, you know, if you just walk close to God and somebody calls you and they want help, the Spirit of God shows up and the Spirit of God prays. It's not you. The Spirit of God is praying. And we know this, you know, this, when the Spirit of God prays, things happen. And he said, I was so messed up, you know, in his mind. He said, I just got so peaceful. He said, I didn't care what happened. But That's what happens when you walk close to God. When you pray for somebody, something happens. Something good happens. All right, I said, John said, if we want to experience a type of victory Jesus already purchased for us through the finished work of the cross, it is time we pick up the weapons of our warfare and bring them to the devil instead of just talking about it. Church, wake up from your slumber. One thing I know about the enemy after spending 25 years in the devil's camp is that he is strong and relentless. Isn't that what we just preached about that? He is strong and he's relentless. He is swift and experienced in the battle, but there is a power he cannot break or destroy. He does not have any authority against a true believer in Christ. He cannot overthrow this power. Do you see this? He has no power against a true believer. So are you walking in the Spirit or are you walking in religion? If you're walking in the Spirit, you're a true believer of God. If you're just walking in religion, then you know, there's something amiss, and the Holy Spirit can't function in you the way He wants to. There is a name and power that is above every other name and every other power of the satanic world. In this world, in the world to come, and that all-powerful name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to shout my hallelujah. We should be shouting hallelujah right now too, because Jesus is the most powerful name in the world. Amen. Come on. You know, I had to sing songs about Jesus tonight because we just need to know Jesus. We really need to know Jesus from the depth of our being. And we need to be sold out to Him from the very depth of our being. We need to quit this surface junk that isn't getting you anywhere and isn't getting anybody you meet anywhere. Amen. John said, I believe in my heart that in every generation, God calls a person to move on His behalf. How many of you believe that? Listen to that again. I believe in my heart that in every generation, God calls a person to move on His behalf. God called John Ramirez. That's why he says that he knows that. And I know God called me for a purpose. Do you know God called you? Do you really, really know that God has called you for a purpose? And when God calls you, you start suffering. That's the truth. When God calls you, start suffering. Why? Because before God called you into what He wanted you to do, you were no threat to the devil. But the minute He called you into your destiny, then the enemy came after, started coming after you. And he, like God said, he is relentless. He's going to chase you until the day you go to be with Jesus. He can chase you all you want, but he doesn't. You don't have to be running. You do not have to be running. You can be standing still and say, devil, you are so dumb because you're not going to get me. Are you understanding this? The only way he can really chase you is if you still are playing in his court. You know, in other words, living a half life, half for God and half for the devil. All right, John says, I thank God that in 1999, when I lived in a neighborhood with 179 buildings, out of all those dwellings in the burnt-out Bronx, he knew my address that night, and I answered a call of spiritual warfare. When you answered that call, guys, it just wasn't answering a call. It was spiritual warfare. And as soon as I was born again, God gave me that scripture in Matthew, since John the Baptist. I don't know how it goes. I didn't understand that, but that's all right. The violence started with John the Baptist. I think that's an awesome statement if you really look back. That's when the enemy got upset because here come Jesus on the scene. And the devil knew what was going to happen. So the warfare increased at that given moment. And God's told me, he gave me that scripture right up front. He said, you're going to fight this battle. And so if you're sitting here thinking you're not going to have to fight the devil, you're not in the right camp. Your mind isn't the right place, is what I should say. You are going to fight the devil until you go home to be with Jesus. And if you think that's blasphemy, you don't know your word. And if you're truly walking with God, you know that the devil's after you every second of every day. This is not a negative thing. This is a truth that you have to hear. And that's why so many people leave Jesus, because they just thought it was going to be a rose garden. You're going to just walk around and, like, you know, sing little sweet songs. And that is not it. When you were born again, you went into the battlefield. And God's been trying to teach us from that, from the day we went, got born again, to how to fight the enemy. I can't believe how many Christians are sitting in the house of God and don't know there even is an enemy to fight. And then when they do fight, I don't know what kind of weapons, but they aren't doing anything. And we need to be warriors, true warriors for Christ. John said, I am moved in my spirit to equip the saints of God for such a time as this, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to overthrow the powers of the demonic world, the devil, his principalities, and every satanic warlock and witch serving as agent of the kingdom of darkness, to break curses and satanic manipulation and control over our lives, our homes, our marriages, our children, our finances, our relationships, our ministries, our churches, our careers, our health, and our purpose and destiny. I pray that we be equipped to destroy every hindering, blocking, robbing spirit and every assignment of the devil, every dark area, whether it is from a generational curse or from a door reopened that gave the devil legal rights. Neil, why do you think that everything you try to do right now that you know God's called you for to do, that it's not going anywhere? It's because the enemy has targeted you to stop you, because he knows that if he lets you go ahead and go through with your projects, he's defeated. And I'm saying that because you're on my mind constantly, because that movie should have been made already. I don't know if you're still trying to make the movie or not, but the enemy is making sure that that movie never gets out there. And the only way it's going to get out there is if you tell him he's finished. And you're going to have to press into God and get God's voice and then go forth. That movie should have been out there already. All right? That's in every one of our lives. Something that God has told us to do. You should already be delivered. You know, you should already be preaching. You see what I'm saying? But the enemies are constantly just bombarding you and just keep holding you back. We should already have a new building. The enemy doesn't want us to have a new building. He thinks that's going to discourage us. No, it doesn't. We just love this building all the more, right? It's precious to us. And we get a new building, we'll probably want to come back to this building. Because this is where we encountered the Father so many times, right? Come, see what I'm saying? But he tries to hinder you. And I really feel bad, because a lot of you he does hinder. And that's a shame, because it should never be. John said it is time to bring them down once and for all, the walls. Once and for all, as you take this journey with me through Conquer Your Deliverance, How to Live a Life of Total Freedom. That's the name of his book. And he's saying as you walk through this book, you should be able to tear down these walls, all right? See, what I did was I taught you everything else. Now I'm going back and I'm telling you a story. As you, see, because I didn't think you'd stick with it if I told you a story first. Now, I really think, well, the Holy Spirit told me where to start, so that's why I did that. As you engage the enemy and pray the prayer for prayer points in this book, pray them with the Holy Spirit fire, full of faith, and expecting that your prayers will destroy the satanic powers of the devil and his cronies in the spirit realm at the very moment you release the arsenals of heaven upon their heads. Then he says, I declare and decree that your prayers will carry the power of the Almighty God. See, some of us don't believe that. We don't believe that our prayers are going anywhere. And see, sometimes, you know, you have to keep looking back to Daniel. You know, the minute his prayer, you know, God heard, the minute he said it, but the enemy held that prayer, the answer back from Daniel. You should think about it. Every time you've prayed and you think, God, you didn't hear that. There's a war going on above you to keep that answer from coming to you. And the reason that's happening is because the devil wants you to lose faith. And he wants you to give up. Daniel didn't lose faith. He didn't give up. He kept praying and kept praying and praying till one day the answer got there. 21 days later. You might say, well, 21 days are past. Keep praying. That answer there, you know. The Holy Spirit will lead you into the battlefield of your life, and he will lead you into total victory. I guarantee you mighty victory in Jesus' name. Then he says, get ready for the battle. Put on your armor, pick up your spiritual weapons, and begin to confront what is in front of you, using the prayers of war that are deep down in your spirit. What does he say? Put on your armor, pick up your spiritual weapons. You know, and God told me, a while back, he said, they're not using all the weapons I've given them to fight the enemy. You know, one of them, I hope you pray it, because one time God said to me, never forget the blanket of blood. So everything I pray for gets a blanket of blood. That's a weapon. But we're not using all the weapons that God has given us, even in the Word, whenever we pray. And that's why our prayers are weak and senseless. That's just what God said. because we don't use the proper weapons and we do pray. Right now we're supposed to be taking everything to the courts of heaven. Are you doing it, or are you just praying a blanket prayer and not even going to the courts at all? You know, and I told these guys here when I was reading this book and I saw that, you know, God told them to write on the courts of heaven, and they've sort of been sliding their feet, not doing the things God called them forth to do. Because when God called you forth to do that, that was the time that God wanted us up in the courts of heaven praying, not down here on this earthly realm. Because you guys didn't do what you're supposed to, we didn't know that right away. Are you understanding this? See, when God asks you to do something, it's for other people, not for you. All right? And when you don't do what you're supposed to, then you hinder what God's trying to do. But God raised up other people to write about the courtroom, right? I don't know where I'm at. As you engage the enemy and pray their prayer for prayer points, I read that, didn't I? As you engage the enemy and pray the prayerful prayer points in this book, pray them with the Holy Spirit fire, full of faith, and expecting that your prayers will destroy the satanic powers of the devil and his cronies in the spirit realm. I know I read it, but I'm reading it again. At the very moment you release the arsenals of heaven upon their heads, we have to believe the minute we pray that God has heard the prayer and sent the answer. It doesn't matter how long it comes, because the battle's heavy above us right now. And it's going to get heavier and heavier. So it's going to might take longer. I'm not saying it's going to. It might take longer for the answer to our prayer. Why is that? The devil wants you to give up. I'm hearing God say he wants you to lose heart. And if you lose heart in one area, you'll lose heart in every area. I declare and decree that your prayers will carry the power of the Almighty God. The Holy Spirit will lead you into the battlefield of your life, and he will lead you into total victory. Then he goes on to say, I've read this before, I know. He has the audacity to say, I guarantee you mighty victory in Jesus' name. Why can he say that? Because he worked for the devil for 25 years. He knows how the devil works. He knows what the power of God's word. So he can say that kind of stuff because he knows it's true. All right, get ready for the battle. Put on your armor, pick up your spiritual weapons, and begin to confront what is in front of you using the prayers of war that are deep down in your spirit. Release them now in the unmatchable name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Confront the enemy. I didn't say a person. Confront the enemy of your soul. Make him go to, I always go to the court of heaven. I said, God, you bring the devil up here too, because I want him, you be my judge, and I want him to hear what you're saying. Confront him. Take him to God. Confront him. All right, then he said, my story. Throughout this book, we have talked about spiritual warfare, and we know it has to do with the demonic realm, demonic attacks, and facing the enemy head on. But this is not all that spiritual warfare is about. The key to spiritual warfare is this: do we trust God in the battle? Now, this chapter's at the end of the book, all right? All right, do we trust God in the battle? Without this, we have nothing. Remember I told you a story that I was right there where Alan's at, and God said to me, you don't trust me. I said, you know, I'm teaching, all right? And I said, we're having this little conversation. And I said, God, I do teach. I do trust you. Why do you say that? He's because you don't trust the people. And when you don't trust the people, you don't trust me. I didn't know I wasn't trusting God until he told me I wasn't. So I repented, and I started trusting God and doing the things he was telling me to do. Then I got back on track again. This is why you have to hear this still, small voice. I'm standing there just teaching my heart out, and God's talking to me about not trusting him. You can do two things at one time with God, you know. Come on. All right, so the key to spiritual warfare is this: do we trust God in the battle? Without this, we have nothing. Okay, we can have the playbooks of the enemy. We can understand how the spirit realm works. But if there is no trust in Jesus Christ, there will never be a victory. On January 9th, 2021, I held a Zoom session on mass deliverance. Listen to what he says here. I held a Zoom session on mass deliverance with an amazing brother of mine, Richard Keltner, who has a ministry called Strike the Head of the Serpent. I wish we'd have thought of that. That's a good title, isn't it? We teamed up with my longtime friend, Pastor Armin, a Foundation of Truth Church in California. That day, the Holy Spirit destroyed the works of the enemy. More than 140 people from around the world took part in this powerful mass deliverance session. We put a crack in the foundation of the devil's kingdom. The demons were confused, and they were all scattered from the north, south, east, and west. It felt the same as when I went to visit an awesome friend of mine in Louisiana with a powerful ministry. Now listen to what he says about this. The day he picked me up from the airport, he heard the fearful whispers of the demons say, John Ramirez is here and we are in trouble. We don't know what to do. We are in trouble. Don't you wish the demons were saying that about you? Come on. Is he saying that? Are they saying that about you? Some of you, I don't think so. And then some of you others, yeah, I think he does do that. That is how I felt on January the 9th. The demons were in trouble. Not John. The demons were in trouble. One woman on the Zoom call had a 20-year hemorrhage issue that the doctors could not resolve. That day, the Lord Jesus Christ healed her completely and set her free. There were many other testimonies that day, one after another, and many were set free. Glory to God and praise be to his name. Now, the backlash, retaliation, and retribution came right after. It struck one of the people involved with the Zoom call with medical issues that required a trip to the doctor for treatment and prescriptions. These people were praying. People were set free. So the devil attacked them. Okay, you're so smart. You want to do this now. Let me just get you. Well, that can't happen. Oh, yes, it does happen. See, that's how ditzy you are. You don't even think that's true. But that is true. When you're really working for God, when you're really down in the enemy's camp and you're fighting for souls, that devil's going to attack you because he knows that if he doesn't kill you, he's finished. So you have to know who you are in Christ, and you have to fight with every fiber of your being. All right? So John said, what do we say to this? Is this fair? The backlash and retribution I received in the battle came soon after. Look what he did to John. The devil struck down my eyesight once again. He knocked off my cataract lens that was permanently put into place by one of the best surgeons in New York in the early 1990s. It was such a demonic attack that even when I went to see a specialist, he said that he had never seen anything like this happen, including all the doctors and specialists in the practice. He said it was crazy, strange, and weird. Do we say God is unfair? Allowing the backlash and revenge spirits to attack me and others on this level. I'm going to be on the safe side, boy. I'm not going to tackle the devil at all. Don't you do deliverance. The devil loves to hear a pastor say that. We don't do deliverance. No, because if you do deliverance, you're going to get the backlash. The devil's going to attack you, trying to take you out of the scene. Since I've been teaching this book, I've been getting sicker and sicker. And today is a really bad day. Yesterday and today is a really bad day. But I'm going to keep on teaching the book. I think I have one more teaching. Because God said, teach this book. He knew I was going to get the backlash. He knew that what the devil was going to do to my health. But I'm still giving the book. I'm still doing what God's commanded me to do. It doesn't matter what I have to suffer and endure. Jesus went to the cross. I don't have to do that. And if he had to suffer for me so that I could be set free, then I can suffer so other souls can be set free. If God, do we say God is unfair, allowing the backlash and revenge spirits to attack me and others on this level? John said, if God had asked me ahead of time, I'm talking about the CEO of the universe, the one who sets on the circle of the earth. If God were to say to me, I'm going to send you into the battlefield to represent my name, to bring glory to it. I want to set many people free. But this is the outcome. The devil will take your eyesight again for a moment, and you will be blind once again. Will you go into the battlefield and represent my name? Think about that. Remember whenever God asked me to marry my second husband, and I went through, started going through hell from day one, and I said, God, I said, why didn't you tell me this is going to happen? He said, if I'd have told you beforehand what you're going to have to go through, you would not have done this, but I needed you to do this. And this is what John Ramirez is saying, asking you here. Will you go into the battlefield and represent my name? And see, God told me when you marry this man, when you announce it, you're going to lose half of your congregation. And we were having revival every night. And then he said, when you get married, you're going to lose everybody but a handful. So he told me, you're going to lose your ministry just you know, by marrying this man. But I had to find somebody that could stand in the gap and get him saved, because somebody's praying for him and I need him in heaven. I cannot find a woman that will not go down to his level. He says, and I know that you'll bring him up to your level. And that's how it worked. And he's in heaven today. 20 years of fighting the devil, losing my whole ministry, losing revival every night for one soul to go to heaven. Are you listening here? What price are you willing to pay to see a soul saved? All right, he says, my brother and sister, I ask you the same thing. Would you go or would you reject the mission? Would you say, not me, Lord, pick someone else, or would you obey and step into the enemy's camp, to the gates of hell, knowing there is a price to pay? I am at this writing losing my eyesight again. For a moment, because that's what God told him. It is one thing to be born blind, another to become blind. Would you refuse a calling? Would you chicken out? Would you shame the Lord Jesus Christ and make the devil proud because you did not want to pay the price to set the captives free? Are you listening to this? This is what separates his saints from the ain'ts. This is what I call those who have been set apart to become spiritual gangsters for the kingdom of God. You know, warriors. God's been trying to make us warriors. So you see, the battle is not what we get out of it. It's about trusting God. That is the foundation of spiritual warfare and setting the captives free. In my spiritual pain, there is victory and also joy. The many who took part in a Zoom deliverance call on January 9th are not slaves to the devil anymore. See, it doesn't matter to him that he had to go blind. He's rejoicing because people were set free. The devil not only lost his grip that day, he also lost the battle. There is no guarantee when you go into the battle that there will be any spiritual or physical wins. Let's repeat that. There is no guarantee when you go into the battle that there will be any spiritual or physical wins. Listen again to the words of Job in Job 23:10. He knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. God told me one time, daughter, you've gone through the furnace of affliction over and over and over again, and each time you came out as pure gold. In other words, he gave me assignments. I passed the assignments. Can God say that to you? Can God say that to you? You know, the reason why I hate lust in the house of God, and why it shouldn't be there anyhow, is because that's what I had to deal with for 20 years. And I'm sick to it up to here. And I will confront it because it destroys. That is not what the house of God is for. You know, why do you come to church? You come to church to serve God, or you to come to church so you can make out with somebody? You know, be honest with yourself. You know, if you come into the house of God and you have an attitude, just stay home and stay in bed. Because I don't need your attitude to mess up the atmosphere. So, because God needs to, there's people in here that needs to be saved. I know you think I'm rough, but I'm really not. All right, John Romero says, P.S. I am on my way to eye surgery and praying with all my heart that God will use the doctors and anoint their hands and give them the wisdom to restore my eyesight once again. Praise be to God, because I know he does not give us any more than we can handle. That is so true. So very true. One time during my 20 years, I said, God, I can't do this. He said, yes, you can. You just don't want to. He said, if you couldn't do it, I wouldn't have given it to you. So, you know, I had to buckle up and, you know, and get in there and start the battle to the end. One thing I've learned in spiritual warfare is to understand the rhythm of the fight and position myself through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that I can have spiritual endurance, wisdom, knowledge, and discernment to conquer my victory. Let's read this again. One thing I have learned in spiritual warfare is to understand the rhythm of the fight and position myself. See, I don't think we understand exactly how God is going to do this fight. And then we don't position ourselves properly. And that's why we have such a struggle to win the battle. You know, I have to grasp again. I'm still trying to figure out exactly how I'm supposed to do that. And if you already have it figured out, well, great for you. I'll figure my own self. Amen. Your position might be different than mine. He says, this spiritual warfare fight that I am in for my eyesight is going 12 rounds. Who was it? Somebody in here, God said, yes. Well, you're in round two. Well, round one, and you have, what, 9 more to go? Yeah. So he knows he has 10 rounds to go with this assignment he's on right now. And then when I read this, I thought, well, how about that? So there you go. There's your confirmation. All right, throughout the fight, sometimes I feel like the devil has me by the throat. And other times I feel like I have him by the throat. And don't lie, we've all been there. Don't say, oh, I know, I've always known I had the devil. No, you don't. You just lied, so you need to get here. He already has you by the throat. You know, we're not God. We're not the Holy Spirit. We're not Jesus. We're flesh and blood. And there's times when we're going to feel like you're never going to get through this little hoop that you have to jump through. You know, the trouble with the body of Christ is, the world in general does not know how to come to grips with anything. They don't know how to be honest with themselves. And they walk around with this lie hanging over them that they're something. Why here God says it's a facade, that you're something you are not. And the enemy's just beating you up all over the place. All right, and then he says, throughout the fight, sometimes I feel like the devil has me by the throat, and other times I feel like I have him by the throat. I know that when it is all said and done, I will be the one standing in the name of our magical Lord Jesus Christ. I will have my 2020 vision, and I will conquer my victory. Remember my testimony. God told me the devil was going to, he was releasing me over to the devil, and he was going to turn me every which way but loose. He says, it's going to be hard. But when it's all said and done, you're going to be standing on your feet, facing me and praising me. Then here he says what he says. Your God is not going to send you on an assignment you cannot complete. And maybe there's something in you that he's trying to get out of you, and so he's giving you an assignment that's very, very difficult. And what you're doing is you're kicking against the pricks. And God wants you to stop it, and he wants you to stand tall like a man of God or a woman of God and do what God's asking you to do, no matter how hard it is, and get the souls saved. It's time that the body of Christ quits their foolishness. It's time we just go forth with the truth on our lips and just conquer the enemy on all sides. You know, I keep hearing from God, oh, death, where is your sting? He's going to have to tell me why he keeps telling me that. But, you know, the enemy cannot destroy you. And God told me the enemy, I've given the enemy do anything he wants to do to you except kill you. He cannot kill you. And one of the times when the enemy was talking to me, he said, I'm going to kill you. I said, oh, no, you can't do that. Because God said you couldn't, and you know you can't. But God said he'll do everything else to you except kill you. I can stand the truth, but some of you can't. So God can't talk to you like that. He can't tell you what's going to happen to you because you'd fly apart. You'd probably melt into the ground right there because you, oh, no, I got to fight. I just can't sit in my easy chair and complain. I'm going to have to fight. And you're not a fighter, so what are you? To be a child of God, you have to be a fighter. Come on. And you know, I know when Brother Russell here lost his wife, he loved her. Every woman wants to be loved like he loved his wife. They had a beautiful marriage. You had to fight to keep your sanity, didn't you, for a while? Because when that happens, we want to die with the person. And I prayed for you constantly, and because he was hurting, deep, deep, deep hurting. But here he is today, and he's doing great and powerful works for the Father. He is destroying the enemy's camp. I love his website, whatever you call it, he sends out. He didn't sit down and bury himself in the sand and just die. He kept on going, and he married a beautiful woman. I know she encourages you on, right? And, you know, he's working for God. What are you doing for God? You know, ask yourself, what good am I, God? What am I doing for you? You girls waving the flags, that's the best thing you could be doing for God. Because, you know, you're full of the glory of God and you're waving it. We feel it. Don't we feel it? The anointing is our flagging. You know, and if you're complaining about it being the flagger, go sit down. Because that's your calling. Flag the flags. Good grief. Make them crack. Just don't knock the flings down. She does make them crack when she goes, baby, me, I have to open my eyes and see what's going on. You know, whatever God's called you for to do, do it with all your might. All right, so you're dancing to the devil. Say, I'm going to take you over and use you. Say, oh, no, you're not. I'm the vessel of God. You can't touch me. And dance. Don't you feel the anointing when I said that? And dance. Just dance. Quit allowing the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy. God's trying to let you guys know there's just more in you than what you realize. And that you're here because the enemy wants to destroy you, but God is lifting you up. He's encouraging you. He's building you up in your most holy faith. We can do this thing God has called us to do. If you couldn't do it, you wouldn't be sitting here tonight. Because God told me when I first started church, I'm going to send in ministers to you, and I'm going to teach them through you, and then I'm going to send them out there, and they're going to minister for me. So you're here because God wants to use you to go out there and minister, not to sit in here, but to go out there and minister to other people through the Holy Spirit. And I'm just hearing God say, you're going to be like gangsters. And I think he said that. He said, well, you're going to be on the street just tearing the streets up with the glory of God. You know, the enemy's out there tearing the streets up with the devil's work. So God needs true warriors, true gangsters to go out there and tear up the streets for God. It's time we get off of our duff, and it's time we start doing something for the Father. Amen. You served the devil long enough. Well, you saw John, and if you really knew his story, his first book he wrote, I mean, he went through hell for 30 years. The devil did everything he could to destroy him. But he stayed the course. He could have gave up God and went back to the devil and been number one all over again, but he didn't want that. He wanted Jesus. I really think he's like a second Paul. God got his attention, and now he's using him to tear down the enemy's camp. Remember, Paul was killing the Christians. And seeing John was killing the Christians. And Paul, when God got hold of him, Paul was given the Christians a word. And he suffered. We read that. Suffered through the whole thing. John is giving the word and he's suffering through the whole thing. God wants to know, what can you endure? How big of a test can you go through? God's enlightened. He's saying he's enlightened you tonight. Now you have to make a decision. Can I destroy the devil through the name of Jesus? The answer is yes, you can. But it's, you're going to pay price after price after price. And I've noticed one thing, what the devil's doing right now is attacking people's health. People who are really a threat to him, he's attacking their health, especially the legs, because he's trying to knock our legs off of us so we can't walk for Jesus. The altar's open. If you truly want to be a servant of God, don't come up here if you don't want to really serve God, please. You're wasting your time. But if you really want to serve God with all of your being, it doesn't matter what your assignment is, you're going to take that assignment and carry it through. The altar is open for you. And God said he's already sent his fire into this altar to burn up anything that's not of him and to fill you full of his fire so that when you go out there, you'll be able to defeat the enemy at every turn.